The book of Judges, chapter 13, verse 2. Judges, chapter 13, and verse 2. If you want to keep worshiping, if you want to keep praying, that's fine. Hallelujah. Judges, chapter 13, starting at verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zerah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this message I preached about 5 years ago, and the Lord laid it on my heart to preach it again today. And it's called, Which None Can Shut. Amen. There is a door. There is a barrier which none can shut. Hallelujah. If you can bow your heads with me, Father, we thank you this afternoon for filling this sanctuary with your presence. Lord, we ask right now, let this word fill our hearts. Let it encourage. Let it lift us up. Let it be edifying, Lord God. Let it build faith. We thank you and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, none can shut. Hallelujah. None can shut. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Satan, the adversary, plans to lock you up. He plans to lock you up in a dungeon, in a castle of doubt, in a place of fear, in a place of despair, in a place of worry, in a place of unhappiness, in a place of low self-esteem. He plans to lock you up and throw away the key. He wants to bind you. He wants to bind you with sickness. He wants to bind you with depression. He wants to lock you up with doubt. But you know, there is a door that none can shut. Hallelujah. There is a key that opens every door. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that it doesn't matter what Satan wants to do to you, if he wants to lock you up, if he wants to bind you in a place. Those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress, you know the story of how a Christian got trapped in a dungeon of fear and doubt, and he was stuck there for a long time. But there was a key that opened the door, and that key was promise. The Bible tells us that God has given us many great and exceeding and precious promises. Wherever you are right now, there is a key of promise to your door. There is a door that none can shut, which God, the great King, the great key maker, has got a key to open your situation, to break down that door, to break down that wall, to loose those chains that Satan has come to keep you bound. The Bible says when he came into Capernaum after he had been baptized, and he was given the scroll of Isaiah, and he opened it to the 61st chapter. And in that, he says he has come to set at liberty them that are bound. Hallelujah. Satan wants to bind you up with your past. He wants to take you back to all your failures. He wants to put you back into depression. He wants to tell you how no good you are, how worthless you are. Amen. But if you were in Sunday school today, you heard God's promise of how he said that Israel was his beloved. Hallelujah. And that this was so important to him. It was like the what he swore to Noah, his pledge of love that he would never be angry again. Amen. Can you think of that pledge? God has promised to his beloved that he would never be angry again. In this story, we have a couple whose womb was bound, who could not bear children, but God had a plan. You know, he can take the most useless situation, the most hopeless situation, and from that situation, in fact, that's where he likes to work from. You bring him all your talents, all your greatness. That's not what he needs. What he wants is you, your ability to come forward with yourself, to bring a broken and a contrite vessel. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for talents. He's not looking for greatness. He's looking for humility. And so it was this couple who did not even have the possibility of children. God said, I can use them. Hallelujah. You see, in our own flesh, we look at ourselves and say, God, what am I doing? How can I be of any use? But that's exactly who God is looking for today. He has got a plan for your life. There is a door, there is a key of promise that he wants to open up for you today. As we go into 2020, and I'm saying that, you know, next month we'll have the title as being a clear vision. Hallelujah. God has got a vision for your life. Don't let the devil bind you up in 2019. Don't let him throw away the key and say he's got you, because God has got a plan to take you out of there. Hallelujah. He wants to bind you up. He wants to lock you up. He wants to throw away the key. He wants to keep you trapped in the same place. You know, they talk about generational curses, where over and over the same situation seems to occur and handed down over the generations. But God has got a key even for generational curses. He can open the door. He can knock down the wall. He can break the bonds. Jesus said, I've come to set at liberty them that are bound. If you're feeling bound today, if you're feeling depressed today, that is Satan. He is the accuser of the brethren. He's only coming to depress you and to put you down. But I tell you, there is a promise. There is a key. The Bible says, great and exceedingly great precious promises. Hallelujah. That God has got a key to let you out. It wasn't until Christian found that key, realized that he had the key all along, that he could have walked out of that prison anytime he chose to. I'm telling you, it's not how your situation is, but it's how your mind is thinking your situation is. I'm telling you that is how you think. The Bible says, so is a man as he thinketh. See, Israel in this time in the book of Judges needed a deliverer. And maybe people were looking at the great warriors of their day. They were not looking at this little old man and his wife and thinking there could come a deliverer out of Manoah and his wife, because they had no children. In fact, people looked on them as being cursed, as being overlooked by God, as being the least blessed, because in those days it was how many children you had depended on your blessing. But God had a plan. He had a key to open up her womb, to bring out of her womb a deliverer. It says that, of course, you know the story of the child that was born, Samson, and how he was given some special, extraordinary abilities, physical strength, whenever the Spirit came upon him. Israel needed a deliverer, and God chose to use a barren couple, a couple that people thought were cursed and God had overlooked. I'm telling you, the devil will say you are cursed and you're overlooked, but I'm telling you, that's who God is looking for, because it's not by might nor by strength, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. When we bring ourselves to God in humility, when we present not our talents, but our heart to him in a broken and a contrite fashion, the Bible says he will in no way despise. Hallelujah. So God let this young man grow up with supernatural strength. But there were some conditions that he had to fulfill. He had to keep himself separate from certain things. He had to take the vow of a Nazarite, the Bible says, from when he was a child. In fact, from his mother's womb. And so God used him mightily from time to time to destroy the enemies of Israel. In Judges chapter 14 and verse 5, God set up another opportunity for Samson to tear down some walls, to open some doors. In Judges 14 and verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. You know what the Bible says? That the devil goes around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I tell you, if you've been separated unto God, if you have kept your faith, hallelujah, it doesn't matter if the devil comes roaring after you. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came not a little, but mightily, mightily upon him. Amen. My little grandson, Anderson, he watches his dad work out. And he loves to come and show me his muscles. And it may not be much now, but give him a few years. You may not look like much now, but if you let the Spirit come upon you mightily, I tell you what, I don't think I will want to mess with Anderson in about maybe 10 or so years, maybe even less than that, because he's going to be a little warrior there. See, Samson was separated unto God. And so even though a lion came to tear him up, even though the devil will come to tear you up, I am telling you today, you have a key to get out of his trap. You have been given exceeding great and precious promises. There is a door that none can shut. Turn to your neighbor and say, none can shut. I'm telling you, when God has given you a pledge, when God has given you a promise, you need to hold fast on that. For many months in the story that John Bunyan wrote, Christian was locked up in this dungeon. And the sad thing about it is many of us are locked up in a dungeon of despair. Amen. Of doubt, of fear. And the saddest thing was he had the key all the time. Amen. You have the key with you right now, although you don't know it because the devil has deceived you and told you you're barren, that your future is worse than your past. But there's a song that we sing that the ladder, let's say it together, the ladder will be greater. Amen. I'm always an optimist. My best song is in my future. My best days are yet to come. Hallelujah. My best writing is yet to come. My best Bible studies are yet to come. Amen. My best future is yet to come. Your best future is yet to come. Because the Bible says in this life, if this is alone we had hope, we would be, as of most men, miserable. Amen. I hacked that verse up. But you get the gist of it. Amen. If this is all there was to life, amen. Yes, we could be depressed and down, but I'm telling you, God has got a plan and a future for your life. Your best days are yet to come. Amen. See, Samson went down, and this lion, no doubt demonically inspired, came to attack him. I'm telling you, in this life, the Bible says you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said what? Be of good cheer. Can you be of good cheer in tribulation? Yes, if you expect to win. Yes, if you not only expect to win, but know that you're going to win. Amen? Know that you're going to win. And so Samson didn't step back. He didn't turn around and run. Here's what happened. And the Spirit of the Lord, verse 6, came mightily upon him. And he tore that lion in two. He just rent it as he would rent a kid and had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what. To him, it wasn't even a big deal. Amen. There could be coming a day when you beat up the devil and you won't even come in here and say. It won't be a big deal. You know why? You have used the key to escape your dungeon of despair, of doubt, and of fear. When we start to practice that every day, it won't be a big deal. Amen. You won't even need to say, because the Bible says that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was not really Samson that did this. The Bible said it was the Spirit of God that came mightily upon him. It's always by God's Spirit. It says, not by might nor by power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord. You know, there's nothing worse. I've lost a set of keys. It's nothing worse than when you hurried home and you can't find your keys and you need to use the bathroom. And you're looking in your car, you're looking in every crevice, and you can't find your keys. Or coming out in the morning and locking yourself out. Anyone lock themselves out? I want to tell you, there is a door that none can shut. You know, because of losing keys and all kinds of that, when we moved into this house, I decided, you know, there's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to install one of them push-button locks. See, there's no key to it. There's just a number. And it's hard for me to lose that number. Amen. So I have not yet lost the key to this house because there is not a key. It's just a number. I'm telling you, it's hard for you to lose the key to God's blessing if you understand who he is. If he has given you his seal and if he's given you the number to the keys of his promises and blessings. Hallelujah. You know, many times we come against barriers. For many years, Manoah and his wife were barren and they couldn't understand, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why have this come this far? We've served you faithfully. God just said, wait a minute, just be patient. I have a plan. God has got a perfect timing. As I last preached last time, there is an appointed time for your deliverance. There's an appointed time for God to show up. Jesus told his brethren, any time is good for you. They said, why don't you come with us to Jerusalem? He said, yes, any time will do for you. But listen, I do things at the appointed time. At the appointed time. So many times we wonder why the door we want God to open won't open. You know, we go beat against it. Lord, I'm trying to get this job, or I'm trying to move in this direction, or I'm trying to have this relationship, or I want to be used in this way, and pastor hasn't even called me in months. Amen. He doesn't even know I exist. Samson's name means like the sun. in an aspect, he modeled some aspects of Jesus Christ. He had great physical strength. But that was not the key to his strength, really. It was his obedience. That was the key to his strength. God has already told you what to do. I heard a preacher said, listen, there's almost no need for me to preach because most of you have heard a dozen, 100 messages over your lifetime. And if you could just remember one of them and just do it, put it into practice. You already have so many words. The key, the promises, is already in your bosom. He had the key. Christian had the key. And yet he was in this castle for months being beaten up every day. The castle giant called... What was the name of the giant? I forgot. Doubt. He was in Doubting Castle, and the giant came and beat him up every day. Does this devil come and beat you up every day with doubts and says you can't make it and what's going to happen? And, you know, now you think me being pastor and being this old that I don't have any fears. Oh, yes, I do. In this flesh, the devil comes and says, well, what's going to happen if this, and you're getting old, and what happens if that? You know what I have to do? I have to take out a key of promise and say he will never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. You see, we have a way out. There is a door that none can shut. Sometimes the reason why the door we're trying won't open is because we're at the wrong door. You ever been up to the wrong car? And you're trying to open the door and it won't open and you're clicking and you're thinking, what's wrong with this thing? And then you look at the car good and you realize there's some other stuff hanging in there that's not yours. Then you look around kind of sheepishly and kind of wander away. Hope nobody saw you were trying to get into the... See, there are some doors God doesn't want you to open. It's not your car. Amen. It's not your car. You need to just chill and wait for the right opening. There's some doors God does not want you to go through. Or he may not be wanting you to go through that door right now. Maybe it's a later event. Maybe there's a reason why there's a delay. There's some doors you're to stay inside and not come out. In Exodus 12 verse 7, God told him, listen, the death angel, the destroyer, is going to pass over Egypt tonight, and you better stay inside the door. Don't come out the door, because I'm going to have the blood. When I see that blood applied, I'm going to pass over that house. There's some doors God does not want you to come out. You're to stay right inside until it's time. There's some doors that you just can't beat on and open yourself. You got to wait for God's timing. See, on Passover morning, the door was open and they were able to come out, and everyone who stayed inside the place where the blood was applied, they were safe. They made it out. But sometimes there are doors that, as I said, God wants shut, and we're still there trying to break it down. I pray all the time, Lord, if there's a decision I'm to make, a place I'm not to go, Lord, please block it, stop it. See, Balaam didn't get it. God kept on saying, don't go. But can I go and curse Israel? God says, no, you can't curse who I'm blessing. But he was so stubborn, he wanted to go through that door. And he was determined to go until his very donkey started to talk to him. Sometimes God will use a donkey of circumstance to say, you know, you're beating on the wrong door. This is not your car. You better be careful before you set the alarm off and somebody comes trying to find out why you're trying to get into their car. We need to just be patient. The Bible says, above all things, wait. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. There is a door, though, that none can shut. When it's your time, when it's God's perfect timing, when you have been patient, when you have been obedient, then you can have strength. As long as Samson was obedient and kept his vows, the Spirit could just get upon him and he could move mightily. He could destroy a lion. He could take down a wall. I have a long message here, but I'm not going to preach a long message. But the thing that excites me about Samson, he went into this town called Gath. And this town had huge walls. And they had bronze doors that weighed about 2 or 3 tons. And the Philistines had been trying to capture Samson for such a long time. He was a pest. He had killed so many of them. He was a thorn in their side. You know what? The devil may not like you because you're becoming a thorn in his side. He may want to lock you up in Gath. He may want to throw away the key. He may say, I've got him now. I've got her now. They're depressed. They're down. They don't know which direction to go. Here comes 2020. I've locked them up in 2019. They're living in the past. They don't know how to get out. But then at midnight, Samson got up. And he walked to the city gates, weighed 2 or 3 tons. And not only did he lift the gates off, he took all of the framework with him. And then just to show how the power of God was, he didn't just move the gate out. He walked up a hill 1/2 mile and let it on the hill. So when they woke up, that city was undefended. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. Come on. I think that is worthy of giving God some worship. There is a door that none can shut. See, they tried to lock him up in Gath, and he woke up at midnight. He went down to the gate. He lifted the gate and all the hinges and all the pieces and walked off with it. When the Philistines of Gath woke up in the morning thinking they had got him, all they could see is that their city was wide open. He had torn down their gates. They were the ones that were sorry they had ever let Samson into their gates. Hallelujah. You see, God is trying to tell us something, that there is a door that we are to walk through. There is a path that he has prepared. The Bible says you will hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. Amen. See, there's a door that Satan can take you prisoner. There is a place where he can get you with drugs and pornography and sex. And these are strongholds of Satan where he wants to bind you and completely depress you and say, I've got you now. You've been trying to get out of here and I got you trapped. But there is a key. The key is promises. The Bible, and I'm going to say it again and again till we all memorize it. He has given us great and exceedingly precious promises. Amen. You know, the one thing about the Bible that is different from some of these other books is the fact that it has promises. It has in Islam, you accept your fate as Allah wills it. Well, I tell you what God wills. He wills that you be prosperous, that you be blessed. Amen. He says that you be the head and not the tail, and that most of all, you are his beloved. The question is, do we believe it? Do we believe it? You see, Satan, his whole plan is to bind you up. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 17, speaking about him, he said that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 17, and that opened not the house of his prisoners. That's why Jesus had to come. That was his very declaration, that he's come to set at liberty them that are bound, to release the prisoners. And when he died on Calvary, when he said it is finished, the Bible says the rocks rent and the graves were opened and Satan was spoiled. He took away all his goodies, took away all his power. In Matthew, he says all power. Let's say it all together, all power. One more time, all power. Do you believe it? All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. As I said in Sunday school, if that's true, Satan has no power. The only thing he has is deceit. That's the only power Satan has, is to deceive you. Do you believe him? Because he'll tell you you're trapped. In the book, it's so amazing that he wrote this story that Christian was trapped in this dungeon for 2 or 3 months, having the key all along. Have you been searching for a key and found it was in your pocket? All along, and you spent hours combing the house. You went and turned over the bin. You went through all the garbage. You went all in the wrong direction, and it was in your pocket the whole time. I'm telling you, it's in your pocket the whole time. God said to Moses, what is in your hand? The people are coming after me. We're trapped. Pharaoh is coming. What are we going to do? God said to Moses, what is in your hand? God is asking you today, what is in your hand? I have given you the keys to open the door. I've given you the way out. I've given you exceeding great and precious promises. And you've let Satan deceive you and tell you God doesn't love you, that I don't love you. Amen. But that's a lie. That's a lie. The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may. He can't destroy everyone, only those who let him. If you're obedient, if you will keep your Nazarite vow, if you will keep your separation unto God, despite what the devil is saying, the Bible says the Spirit came upon him mightily, mightily, and he just tore that lion in two. He just tore that lion in two. Judges 16, verse 3. I just wanted to read the actual scripture because it just makes me smile when I think about what the power of God can do. Speaking about Samson, and Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts. He didn't just take the door. He took, in fact, you know what this means? They were going to have a hard time rebuilding the door. They couldn't even just go get down to Menards and get a door. They had to fix the whole thing. He removed the jamb and the doorpost and the hinges and the lock. They had now a big gap in their wall. We don't want Samson back at this place. I tell you what, when we get so the devil says, you know what, stay over there at Rehoboth. He went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder. Now, here's the funny part. He didn't just push the door down and leave it there. He took it, and if you look, he carried it up the top of a hill, 5.5 tons up the top of a hill that is before Hebron. They say that that is a good half mile up the hill. And he left it on the hill so when they woke up. See, this is how we got to treat the devil. Let him know that you're a child of the King. Let him know that you have an angel. In Matthew 18, Jesus said, you better leave those little ones alone. Don't you know, Satan, that their guardian angel sits before my face? It'd be better that a millstone was hung around your neck than you mess with one of my little ones. See, Samson's model was a model of Christ in strength and power. Amen. You know, as I said, they tried to get him so many times. He was just a pain in their side. Because up until the time when he gave away his secret, he was obedient. He was separated. Amen. Amen. But you know, there came a time when he fell and he gave away his secret in Judges 16 and 20. And you know the story? He was taken captive because he was betrayed. He trusted the wrong person. Now, I said he's a parallel to Jesus. Jesus was taken captive when he too was betrayed. Of course, Jesus wasn't deceived. He knew who Judas was. In Judges 16, 20, it says, and Delilah said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. But he didn't realize that the plan of the enemy had taken his strength because he was no longer separated. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow. See, I'm telling you this. You may go down. Satan may actually catch you and bind you and put you in a prison house. But you know what? There is a key. There is a door that none can shut. Verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Verse 24, and when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. So they made sport of Samson. And you can imagine, he's hanging there between the two pillars. But you know what? Just like Jesus, in his death, he won a great victory. He won a great victory. In Judges 16, verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two pillars. You know what's going to happen now? Samson's going through another door, the door of death, because there is none that can shut. Hallelujah. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. Do you understand that he was a picture of Christ? Christ was crucified between his enemies or before his enemies. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And just like Christ, the Bible said he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were there. When Samson bowed himself down, he delivered Israel in his death. Just as when Jesus bowed himself down, he delivered you and me. But there was still a door that none can shut. Because on the third day, there was an earthquake. The angel of the Lord came down and opened the door. But not to let Jesus out, but to let us know that he was risen. If you could stand with me. The grave is not strong enough to stop you and me if we've been filled with the Spirit and baptized in his name. There is no door that is strong enough if we have walked according to his will. 1 Corinthians 15, 9, Paul speaking to the Corinthians says, "For a great door, and effectual is opened unto me, even though there are many adversaries." 2 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel," I tell you, anytime you're doing God's will, the door will be open. Anytime you're working for Christ, the door eventually will open. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Three times Paul speaks about a door being opened. Colossians 4:3, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds." He was in physical bonds, but he said, "You know what? The door is open." Satan may have you even feeling sick, but the door is still open. He may have you lose your finances, your job, but the door is still open. All you have to do is get up at midnight, like Samson, in faith, believing that he has given exceeding mighty and great and precious promises. And there is a key called promise. There is a hope that God has given us. Hallelujah. We're exiting 2019. Amen. We're going into 2020, if the Lord says the same. I don't know how many more months, years we have, but let's pray that God will open a door for each of us of ministry. If we seek his kingdom first, all the other things he has promised will be added unto us. That was Paul's mission, opening doors for missions, for witness, for the gospel to be preached. All the other doors that are blocking you, companionship, health, finances, the Bible says he will open those doors too. See, it's all about asking God the right question. Solomon could have asked for riches. He could have said, "Lord, I want a door of riches. Just pour down everything and just give to me." But that's not what he asked for. He says, "Lord, I'm too ignorant. I'm too stupid. I'm too young. I don't have enough experience to lead your people. Just give me of your wisdom." The Bible said the question pleased God. Will your question please God, what you're asking for? Is he pleased with what you're asking him for? Because if it does, a door will be open. "For a great door, an effectual, is opened unto me," is what Paul said, "even though there are adversaries." I'm telling you, don't let the devil deceive you, because that is his only weapon, is to tell you a lie. And the greatest lie is that there is no hope, that your best is behind you, that God doesn't love you, that he's finished. That's a lie. That's a lie. You need to listen to Sunday school, because one of the greatest things that God said about his love, I read today. Amen. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Go listen to Sunday school. It is so powerful what God said to Israel about his love. And what he is saying to us now, he calls us his beloved. And whatever else is coming to your mind is a lie. Don't let Satan bind you up in the past. But let's go forward. Amen. Looking for his soon return. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service. Amen. Don't let Satan bind you up. Believe that there is a door open, effectual. Paul says, "And a door was opened unto me of the Lord." I believe that. God has opened so many doors of mercy and of grace and of love. He's done so much in that way for me. Amen. I just need to open it and walk through. Just like Gath could not keep Samson and Gaza either, the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. We're going to take the battle to them. A door which none can shut. I want to read one last scripture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. I close with this. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I'm reminded of a message I preached some years ago. You can't curse whom God has blessed. That's one thing I don't fear people speaking against me, because if I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Nothing you can do about it, nothing you can say about it. I have set before thee, verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And no man, let's say no man, can shut it. Here's the key. For thou hast had a little strength. You don't need a lot. Just a little grain of mustard seed, that's all you need. A little strength. And has kept my word. And has not denied my name. That's the Philadelphian church promise. That he's going to put before you a door. Open a door. He has a key that no man can shut. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. Let's put our faith, our trust in Jesus and his words. And not whatever the devil is whispering to your mind. Father, we come to you this afternoon in faith, believing that you have opened a door which no man can shut. And that you have given us a key of promise and of hope and of blessing, of grace, of deliverance, of healing for our families. Hallelujah. For our lives, oh God, for direction as we move into this next year. Lord, that most of all, you have promised us that our name is written in the book. And for this we rejoice and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Hallelujah.